Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we're glad to be here with Truth Ministry one more time. What a blessing it is to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty. That is none other than the word of the Lord. As the prophet says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So it's good to be here, and we'd like to welcome you to Truth Ministry, and we thank God for you, all of our Twitter followers, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Blog Talk friends. We say welcome to Truth Ministry. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We thank God for that quote out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Apostle Paul was writing to one of his prison epistles to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, the believers. They were already saved. They had already repented, been to the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus, been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So we thank God for His Word. So there's thy Word, the psalmist says, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That was, you know, Psalm 119, I believe it's 170 psalms in that particular psalm. So it's so very important. We got to have the word of God. So we just thank God that we're here on another session on Blog Talk Radio. And then, believe it or not, I think Blog Talk has been around since 06, I believe, somewhere in there, the early to mid 2000s. And then still a lot of people don't know about Blog Talk Radio. So we are grateful to be able to be on Blog Talk Radio. So should you desire to call in to Truth Ministry, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You are definitely welcome to call in should you have a question, or should you have a comment, you are definitely welcome to call 646-716-6566. 6566. So we're continuing where we left off on last time. Last week we were talking about perilous times. So we're doing a part two on that. And so if you've been following me for any length of time, you know my theme is the Godhead. And so everybody don't know who Jesus is. There's only one person in the Godhead. God is not a freak, but he's one. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. God is an invisible God. He's everywhere in every place. He made known himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's why John said he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So people didn't know who he was. So the nation Israel did not receive him as a nation, but individuals did. So, like I've said before, Paul wrote, says, you know, seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not. And I believe it's the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. So he's talking about not as Moses who put on a veil when he spoke to the children of Israel. When he talked to him, talking about God, he took the veil off and he makes it plain which veil is done away in Christ. So it says, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The it is Israel, the nation Israel. Turn their heart to the Lord, the veil is going to be taken away. And he goes on to say, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we're glad to be here on another session. So this is what we are continuing to talk about, perilous times. And we're living in dangerous times. So Apostle Paul was writing to his son Timothy in the gospel. I mean, in the his son Timothy. He's his son in the gospel. And like I wanted to say, the gospel of Timothy. But he was writing to his son Timothy in the gospel in the third chapter, his second letter to his son in the gospel, because he's given instructions and all things that he had said before. Even we have been on last week, we were dealing with coming out of the third chapter is where we got our thought from. But I just make you abreast on a few other things. So with the importance of the instruction that the Apostle Paul gave to his son Timothy in the gospel. So now, got to remember that one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. And so Apostle Paul in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians was talking about how he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part are fallen asleep. And he goes on, he makes a statement. Last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. So he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I labor more abundantly than they all. He's talking about the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So it's amazing. It's amazing, simply amazing, that people, all of these people calling themselves apostles. Now, Jesus chose them. And you read in a couple of the Gospels, he says he chose 12 whom he called apostles. So the word or the term apostle means to send forth. So they were eyewitnesses. They were taught personally by the Lord. They saw him. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And they all died horrible deaths, except for John, the Apostle John, who was put in the Isle of Patmos. So he was there for a reason. He was able to write the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul tells Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He goes on, let him know, no man that entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. If any man strive, also strive for masteries, let him masteries, yet he is crowned, except he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So he goes on, husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So he goes on, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. See, now he could say that because he was the apostle unto the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, or that word circumcision means the Jews. So he says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's the faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. We suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. They strive not about words to profit. They strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And so he goes on, study to show thyself approved unto God. He's given instruction to Timothy, his son, in the gospel. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they were increased unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we have to realize this is not about us, but it's about Jesus. And it's the same Lord that the prophet Isaiah really, God uses Isaiah mightily to talk about himself. I am the Lord, besides me there is no Savior. You know, before the day was, I am he. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. Is there a God beside me? He prophesies through Isaiah, I know not of any. So there's none beside him. There's none with him. There's none before him. There's none after him. He is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The same God was back then in the cloud by day to the children of Israel and in the fire by night is the same God. Apostle Paul writes the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, what he done. They were baptized in the cloud of Moses. So it's the same God that was back then, is in the church now. It was, like I said, I believe on last week, they didn't use the term church in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, but it was the congregation. But in the book of Hebrews, he talks about that. He says, I will declare thy name in the church, like among thy brethren. So it's the same God. So It's like I said, it's you had to be an eyewitness to be an apostle. So you got to understand, Ephesians 2 and 20 says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the first, second, and third chapter, he's talking about the foundation and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he talks about no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So we're building on the foundation that was already laid. So God has a order. He has the local church, like you've heard me say. Psalm 68 and verse 6 says, God set it the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So in the local church, you have a pastor, he or she, it matters not. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free. Everybody is one in Christ Jesus, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. So in the body of Christ, we are all the same. So he does have order. So in the church, the pastor or the bishop, it's the self same thing. If you're an overseer, You're the overseer of the church. You can call your, and it's not a bishop with a big B. There's only one bishop with the big B, and that's the Lord himself. That's why Apostle writes, the Hebrew writer, about Jesus, he's the bishop of our, Peter writes, he's the bishop of our souls. The Hebrew writer writes that he's the apostle of our profession, and he's the captain of our salvation. So in the local church, you have a feeder, or you have a under-shepherd, which would be the pastor, he or she. They oversee that congregation, and their helpers, the elders, the evangelists, they're the helpers in the congregation. There are no more apostles. They already done their jobs. We're building on what they already have laid. And so even the I don't understand this. Like, I've been in church. I've been saved. I'm in past my 39th year this past August. They didn't. All of this stuff wasn't going on back in the 76. When I came in 76, and for quite a while, all of a sudden now these people, I operated in the prophetic. You know, Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of them, they wrote prophetically. Ain't no speak a word into my life. I mean, you in the local church, God puts in the heart of your pastor, he or she, what the congregation need. They feed you the word. You can read the word. You can go to other places of same like faith and hear preachers preach and hear teachers teach, just like we did down through the years. That is God's word. You have to pray and get God direct you. Ain't nobody, you going to somebody to speak a word in your life. All of a sudden, all of this stuff is coming up. These prophetesses and these prophets and these apostles, like the old people say, there's no such of a thing. That's there in error. If you really, the office of a prophet in the New Testament church, in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Apostle Paul says, you may all prophesy. Then he goes on, he says, let the prophet speak by two, and, you know, by the course by three, and let the others judge. So in other words, if there's a prophet, you're going to have a prophet in your church, you got more than one. There's no prophet by themselves. So this is why, even like Jesus told the Pharisees, you do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. And so this is what Paul the apostle is admonishing his son Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this goes against the grain. See, I'm of the school, those they taught us, like our late former presider taught us, and he passed in 1990, he said, and I believe he's right, he says, you haven't preached until you made them mad. So this goes against the grain. Ain't no ha-ha-ha salvation, you know, and you don't, and all of this stuff. I mean, we're persevering. We're all persevering for all saints. We're pressing our way. I'm talking about in prayer. And a lot of things we're doing, we're fighting the good fight of faith. So there's no pray once and don't pray no more and all of this kind of stuff. And somebody call themselves speaking a word unto you and all of that. No, that stuff, like I said, that wasn't even around. So you got to know what the word of God says so you won't be fooled. So he goes on here, letting them know, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel under honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So he goes on here. St. Paul tells him, flee also youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, void, knowing that they do gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this is no big I and little you thing over here. I mean, some people act like people are their people. No. In the Psalms 100, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, not we ourselves. And he goes on to say, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So he goes on to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So what does he say? We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And I believe in the 95th Psalm, he says, we are the sheep of his hand. So we are God's people, not some of these so-called people that want to take authority like we're their people. No, if you're an overseer over people, you're the under shepherd of God's people. They're not your people. You've been given a charge. So what do you got to do? Like the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. They watch for your souls, that they may do it, you know, without grief. That's unprofitable for you. So obey them that have the rule. What is the rule? The rule is the word of God. So they have the word over you. They're not your mama and your daddy, as you know, some people are like, my people, my church. No, it's the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we're helpers. We are witnesses. We are servants. We are ministers. We are elders and evangelists and bishops or whatever you want to call yourself. I mean, some people have the title of bishop. They don't know how to break the book up. They don't understand the principles of the doctrine of Christ. It matters not about your title, because you're ordained an elder. You are appointed a bishop or a suffragan bishop or a district elder. Those offices are appointed, but you are only ordained one time, and that is you're an ordained elder, especially in the organization that I am affiliated with. So we're continuing on in perilous times here. So we got to be sober and be vigilant. Like Peter said, your adversary, he's no match for God. He's your adversary, Peter said, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he goes on to say, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So you got to submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's what God's word says. God is a God of order. So he goes, continuing on like we were on last week, we kind of laying the foundation going through. So he's talking about this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So we're here in the last days. Now, when I came in 76, they said it's the last days. And I mean, it's sure enough even way worse than it was then. We are in the last days. So, I mean, so much has taken place. And like we say, in the book of Daniel, says that knowledge shall be increased. So technology is just made leaps and bounds the 90s. People are online. We were taking computer classes and actually really in the 80s, because, I mean, they had DOS and different stuff back then. And then so now it's just really took off. So just not people, I mean, you're not even really using your computer, your laptop, that is, or your desktop, as much as you're using maybe your iPad, your iPhone, your Samsung Galaxy, your Android phone, whatever. You actually have a computer you're carrying around with you every day if you have a smartphone. So we can see how the word of the Lord is being fulfilled. God giveth knowledge. God's given man knowledge. All this, the technology, the radar, you know, for airplanes. We got all kinds of satellites. They have satellite radio that came out in the early 2000s with Sirius Radio and XM Radio, and they were individual companies. Like some of them, like XM was like GM was on, had the XM side, and I think another foreign car maker had XM. And then Ford and Chrysler, just to name a couple of them, they had the Sirius Radio. Well, in the mid-90s, I mean, not the mid-90s, but in the, because they came out in the early 2000s, Sirius Satellite Radio and XM Satellite Radio. So what happened, they got in trouble in the mid-2000s, and so they merged. So that's why they call it Sirius XM. So it's a very strong company. So satellite radio, so you can go from coast to coast, anywhere in the United States, and I believe in Canada, where you have a satellite radio in your car, you can hear the radio. And, I mean, they got like over 130-something channels. So that is the word of the Lord being fulfilled also here in the last days. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about perilous times. So we know people are using... they're abusing technology. You got these people, hackers, they call them, hacking into people's computers, hacking into people's system with debit and credit cards and all of that kind of stuff. They're abusing the system that God gave man the knowledge to be able to do all this. So instant messaging and all of that. I mean, a car could get in an accident. You can be watching the news, and actually, anywhere in the world, you can see they have satellites. They are able to beam stuff right in on your television set. So even like some of our bishops used to wonder, how is the world going to see the two witnesses in Jerusalem? Talking about Moses and Elijah. During that time, the church will be gone. It's going to be, like the writer says in the book of the Revelation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. So it's going to be a lot of things that are going to go on. That's why we're trying to persuade men, and we say men. That's just the Bible is written in a masculine gender. We're talking about to be saved is what we're trying to do, is to persuade people to walk with God. So we're thankful of that. We're trying to persuade people. We want them to walk with God. So if by any means, that's what we're trying to do. So as we move on in the word of the Lord, in our session on today, talking about the perilous times. And so we know that they are here. So he's admonishing his son. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. So you've never seen a time where people are so unthankful as it is on today, and it's really a shame that people are so unthankful, ungrateful as they are on today. I mean, some are so greedy they want more and more. So that's why he says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we talked about, you know, which while some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, as he's writing to his son Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:10. And so he tells him, thou man of God, flee these things. Tell him what to follow after righteousness, charity, and the like, and of them that called on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he goes on here. People are unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, thirsty spiders, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn. And so you got people just, they're going through the motions, just like they said, this one particular church is nothing but a political organization hiding behind religion. That's Catholicism. So, I mean, it's, you know, they're basing everything, they're worshiping a man as though he is God. I mean, you imagine how people going to just be fooled and worship the devil incarnate in a man, because they're worshiping this one man right now. And, I mean, they keep getting a new one. It's crazy. I mean, the man, the Holy Father is God. There's only one Holy Father. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't call no man father. So you don't. So that was the point he was trying to make. They have so much reverence for this man. They're calling this man the Holy Father. He's not the Holy Father. God himself is the Holy Father. Jesus is the Father. Just like he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For 14 chapter of St. John, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father believe, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake, is what he's saying. So you don't want to be like that. So he goes on here, of this sort are they which creep in the houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So even like we have the venue, Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio. A lot of people still don't even know about Blog Talk Radio. There are other, social networks, but even Facebook, people are really abusing that, because what they do, they try to tag you. You got to know what's going on. You don't know what's going on, then you don't know. You can defeat it when you know what's going on. So what people are doing is tagging people in a post, and they'll tag. And so somebody is your friend. You don't, you know, they befriend you. They'll friend you, tag you in a post, and the post will have nudity in it. So you got to be wise enough not to add that to your timeline, because what you're doing is you're putting that on there, and it looks like it's you. But that is none other. That's right out of the pit of hell. So, I mean, social media is good in its own way. And so, I mean, we, even with the Blog Talk Radio, we're able, not just Blog Talk Radio, but like with the Bible app, you have different applications that you can send links to Twitter, to Facebook, to LinkedIn. You can message to people. I like to do the scripture of the day. That's what I do virtually every day to Facebook. So, I mean, so people are abusing things because this lust devil is on the loose, putting porn, trying to tag people in posts and put porn on their sites. You got to be wise enough. And you know what's going on, and you know how to defeat it. And so that's what you have to do. So evil men are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So anyway, he's talking about ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So he goes on here, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. This is what Paul is saying. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So here's what we are today. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So what is the worst kind of individual you could be dealing with? I mean, there's evil people. There's people that don't know God. Just like you may have heard me tell the story that it was an actual account of one of our late bishops told us about. This woman was in her 90s. She got raped on a cold basement floor. So she lived. She was able to identify the guy who violated her. They asked him, "Why did you do it?" His answer was, "I don't know." So then the very next statement the bishop made was, "If the devil gets your mind, he will possess you and you'll do what he says." So it's just that simple. Little boy get little girl mind, he got him. Little girl get little boy's mind, they can do whatever they want. So this is what we have to realize about the enemy. He's a piece of trash. He's a master of deception. He's an artifice, which means he's a master of deception. He wants to deceive. He knows that he has no hope. So that's what he's trying to do to others. He knows that the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, is going to be his home throughout eternity. And he wants to take as many people there with him as he can. So he goes on here, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So to be seduced is horrible. I mean, the you know, a seducer, that's not a good thing at all, to be seduced. And so it's what John gave warning to when he wrote in his epistles about concerning them that seduce you. So, and then James says, he talks about being tempted. "Let no man, when he is tempted, saying, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted, neither he tempted he any man." Then he goes on to say, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So these words, they all are you know, pretty close in what's going on. So he says, so whenever you know, so you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed, so you're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. Then he goes on to say, "When lust is finished, it bringeth forth death." And when death is lust is finished, it bringeth forth death. Bringeth forth sin. I'm sorry. When lust is finished, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every perfect and good gift coming down from the Father of lights." You know, there's no variableness or none of that in him. "But of his own will, he begat us," you know, "with the word of truth," talking about the Lord himself. So he says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So they're deceiving people. They're being deceived. So just like Jim Jones, I'm told that one of his sons, I guess, said that he loved his father. This is in Ghana, where these people in 1978, they literally drank the Kool-Aid. That's not something that somebody made up. But they drank this poison Kool-Aid. He took these people over in a land. I think it was called Ghana, Guyana, whatever the name of the place was. And it was I forget how many. It was under 1,000, but it was pretty close to it. But anyway, they drank the poison Kool-Aid. But I'm told that Jim Jones' son, one of his sons, said that he loved his father, but when his father starts saying he was God, he knew he was off. So this is what he's saying. "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're deceiving and being deceived." So if you're reprobate, you don't know right from wrong. You think you're right and you're wrong. So you're reprobate. Your conscience is seared with a hot iron. He talks about that also, too. So if your conscience is seared with a hot iron, then there's no hope for you. Your conscience is seared. So these are kind of things that we're dealing with. So this is why even in 2 Thessalonians, he's talking about the man of sin, because he kind of gives us a description. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, said even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all deceivableness of them that, you know, they don't have a love of the truth. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So he says, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie. So that's, you know, you're treading on dangerous grounds when you get like that. So apostasy, it's like they said, the word apostasy is falling away. It's rejection of revealed truth. So, I mean, you know, blasphemy, it's like he said, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there's neither forgiveness in this world nor in the world to come. And that they were treading on that kind of ground when they said that Jesus was casting out devils by Beelzebub. I mean, so that, I mean, the devil is a liar. I mean, so Jesus answered them, you know, if Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom is divided. So then how then shall his kingdom stand? So in other words, he's tearing down his own kingdom. That don't even make any sense. If I, by the finger of God, cast out Satan, whom do your children cast them out? That's what Jesus was asking them, that question in the Gospels. They were under the law. He was bringing in a new and a living way. So it's already here. So this is why, like I said, the last apostle was the apostle Paul, and he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now he was beheaded after he'd done the will of God, everything that God needed him to do. He was beheaded by Nero. And so the last apostle to die was John the Apostle. And I have this book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. So you can get that information out of that particular book. So because all the history, all biblical history is not in the scriptures, but it's written. We got enough wrote what we should do and what kind of example we should lead. But this is strictly biblical history, the martyrdom of the apostles, and it's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. So that's a good book to have. I've had that book for years. So after John died, after he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, and however many years it was when he died, then there are no more living apostles. It's only 12 apostles of the Lamb. The name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb is in the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. It's a city suspended in midair. So again, as we're going on today, we're talking about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So our call-in number, should you desire to call in, if you have a question, if you have a comment, 646-716-6566. 646-716-6566. So you got to know what the word says. So, I mean, you when you read God's word and you go to Bible class in your local church and you pray, you have a consecrated life to God, you're going to know what the will of God is for you. You don't need no so-called apostle or no so-called prophet speaking in your life. I mean, it's crazy. Look, some of this stuff is almost laughable. And the really funny part of it is, I mean, it's pathetic is what it is. Not prophetic, but pathetic. And it really is because the biggest audience that some of these people ever had in their life is two words. Well, it's actually one word, Facebook. That's their big audience. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we don't need bishops and this, that, and the. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, God had order. The apostles' headquarters was at Jerusalem. God is a God of order. I'm under authority in authority. I'm under authority of my local church. We're under the authority of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, which is our organization. The oneness organization that others actually start calling Jesus only, because they don't understand the Godhead. They don't understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, so that there is only one, and that blessed Jesus, he's the one. That office of sonship is going to be done away with, and God is going to be all and in all. God's going to take the church back into eternity with him. Because he threw in time for everybody to get themselves ready to go back into eternity with him, whosoever will. So that's why he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You don't have to believe, but every knee is going to bow, every tongue, excuse me, is going to confess. So there is no I lie. That is a lie is what that is. That's a make-believe lie. Ain't no God of the black man and a God of the white man and all. But there's one God who is the God of all flesh. Ain't no blow yourself up and you're going to get virgins. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. Because it's like I said before, they don't understand the scriptures, neither the power of God. In the world to come, you're going to be neuter gender. You're going to be neither male nor female. So you ain't going to get no virgin. You ain't going to get 10 hoes. If you saw 10 prostitutes, what could you do if you blow it all up? I mean, it's not even common sense. Cuz if you blow yourself up, you can't even find your brain, let alone anything else. You're all blowed up to pieces. I mean, that's so stupid. You're not getting nothing. You got played. You sure enough got played. You got deceived is what you got. So these so-called suicide bombers, that's crazy because you're not supposed to kill. You're not supposed to kill yourself. You're not supposed to kill nobody else, not even yourself. You're not supposed to kill. And when you're talking about killing, we're not talking about self-defense. I mean, you got to get somebody off of you. That's self-defense. And murder is a legal term. That's why they call it first degree and all of that, because people thought about what they're going to do. But if somebody's trying to, like I'm told one time back in the 80s, or when I think it was the mid to late 80s, they used to try to, that's just so foolishness, this carjacking stuff started. This guy put his hand in this window of this woman's car. Whatever he was trying to do, so she rolled the window up and took off. So he was running with the car, so he couldn't get his arm out. So I mean, so she got on up to however fast she did, and I'm told she went around a curve. She let that window down, and that was the end of him. He didn't do that no more because he was gone. So I mean, he did it to himself. So I mean, you get somebody off of you, a dog or whatever attack you, whatever it is, that is, you're defending yourself. So that's totally a different thing. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous the things that people are doing when you have police brutality, because they're evil men. These people that have, I mean, you don't take, I got a saying. Like if somebody does, you all of these so-called sayings, a woman scorned and all that. Well, yeah, people, life is not fair. Things happen to people, but you have to treat everyone as an individual. I have a saying, and I mean, really, the gist of the saying is, I don't hold grudges. No way. You got to let stuff go. But what I'm saying is, My saying is, I want the dog who bit me. So in other words, I'm not going to take out on someone else what somebody else done to me. I want the dog who bit me, but I don't hold grudges. So that should be self-explanatory, what I just said. I want the dog who bit me. And I'm not bitter. I'm not going to hold grudges against people. You got to deal with it and let it go. But so people are angry at others, and so... they act like everybody is no good because of one no good person. Consider Jesus. Like the Hebrew writer says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So all the stuff that he was wounded for his our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He was made a sin offering. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I mean, we hid as though our face from him. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. I mean, he went through a lot of stuff because he loved us so much. He was a sin offering. So he was made sin to be for us who he was made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it's what the writer Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. So that's why he was saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So we're living in that time when people think that other folks owe them. So they want to break in on people. So that's why people have dogs, and people have cameras, and people have whatever they have to protect themselves. So I remember one time a guy was teasing me in the 90s when I was working at General Motors, particular in another city, and he's going to sick a dog on me because he knew I was a jogger. I jogged outside. So I said, okay, I got something for him if you do that. So what you got? And so, you know, a lot of people in the area, their ears went up because they knew that I was a minister. They knew that I was a child of God. And so he said, what you got? I said, a bat, a shovel, anything I can get my hands on. I guess they thought I was going to say I was going to shoot him. So, I mean, that could happen too. But that was my response. Whatever I can get my hands on, I'm not going to let a dog take advantage of me if I can help it. So we have to be wise. So people are using dogs as a weapon. But on the other hand, you break in somebody's house, and because one of my sons has a Rottweiler. You can go in there if you want to. You are in a world of trouble, and too bad, because you've done it to yourself. So that's the way that goes. So you're not going to, like Jesus says, if you're going to spoil a man's house, you got to bind the strong man. So in the local church, everybody coming through that door is subject to the pastor. He's the authority. And in someone's house, the man or whoever the head of the house is, if it's the woman, live by herself, they're subject to her. You can't just overthrow somebody. So you're not going to take over until you overthrow them. So you're in trouble. You think you're going to overthrow them, then they got something for you. They got to fight for you. So that's the way that goes. So that's, you know, what the enemy, who is Lucifer, who was the beautiful archangel that God made, he made himself the devil and Satan. He wanted to overthrow God. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou didst weaken the nations, you know. Thou hast said in thy heart, I will do this, I will do this, I'll be like the Most High. So that's why he got cast, 28th chapter of Ezekiel. He was called the anointed cherub that covereth. I set thee so. How he was and how he walked in the midst of the fire and all these things that he'd done. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, the writer says, until iniquity was found in thee. So God threw him out. So that's why Jesus, like I said, why did Jesus say, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven? Because he threw him out. Because he is the mighty God. He is the one that threw him out. So he's the prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And other devils too, which are fallen angels, are working in the children of disobedience. So we had our conversation, as the apostle writes, to the Ephesian church in time past. So how do we know about the game of sin? Because we were sinners. I was out there. It's like I tell people. I was out there until God saved me in 1976 as a young man. I got saved 3 months before I turned 24. So think you can fool me? You think I don't know what's going on? I'm hip, as they say. I know what's going on. So all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, John writes, is of the world. He says, you know, it's not of the world, not of the Father, but it's of the world. John, this is in 1 John 2 and 15. So he goes on here as he proceeds to go on down that all that's in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, is of the world. He goes on to say the world passeth away and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. ever. So we're in this perilous time. People think they can just do anything. They can come in people's houses and or they can just overthrow people and just take stuff from people. And that's why a lot of people are arming themselves. So, I mean, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual battle. So your sincere prayer is, Lord, cover me. Lord, protect me. I don't want to have to do anything to get somebody off of my back. But that's called defending yourself. So I'm not going to just, you're just going to overthrow me. No, get out of here. I mean, if people are crazy with the stuff that they're doing. That's because they got hell in them. So he goes on here about continue thou in all the things thou hast learned and has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that word doctrine is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. And I mean, people act like they're so afraid of that word, but that's what the Muslims, the only thing they want to say is all leading up to the honorable so-and-so teaches. It's what they said. He ain't honorable at all the stuff that he'd done. So they ought to quit with that lie, but they have been deceived. So, because it's all in Jesus. So we thank God for that that we have been able to bring a little word and to wake up your understanding to the truth on the day. And you keep in mind our ongoing question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so keep in mind the ongoing question. You thank heaven that you listen, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.